My name is Jean Rees, Jean Thompson now, but it was Rees. They were one of the early settlers in Albury.
How old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
94 and a fortnight.
94 and a fortnight, God love you. How old were you when the Iver landed?
I worked it out last night. I was about 18, I think. 1934, so take that from 94.
What do you remember about that night?
Every bit of it. My brother and I were... We were glued to the radio listening to the race. Of course, he was mad keen on flying, and he was about second in Albury to get his pilot's licence. And then, of course, as soon as war broke out, he went into the Air Force. And that was it. But now we were listening to the radio, and then they called people to go out. We noticed the lights going off and on, and we had to wait till after the pictures because my parents were at the pictures and with the car. So we met them out on the street and said, don't get out, we have to go to the airport, out to the race course. So we went in and out we went. Of course, by then it was a line of cars. We got out to the race course and you could see the cars from Albury. There were no houses around then. And we just waited, and then you could hear the plane overhead. Next thing was to bring them down safely. That was the thing. You could see the storm approaching. But anyway, thanks be to God, they did come safely. We climbed over the fence, I don't know how I did, raced across, and I was at the side of the plane when the passenger door opened, and Fraulein Thea Rush was the passenger from Holland in it. And she opened the door and said, is this Melbourne? No, it is Albury. But then we went out next morning and just saw them pull the plane out the centre. And then later on they had a special ball, the Dutch ball, and the Dutch representative in Australia came over and part of it, and it was lovely. We had a great night. No, it was a very, very interesting night.
You said it was one of the most exciting times of your life.
Well, I thought it was, to me. No, and of course, my brother being so mad on flying, he never forgot it. It was really wonderful.
What do you make of today's launch of the mural?
Yes, I'd like more time to. I'll come out one day and really have a look. No, it was very, very interesting. We used to come and sit over in the road and watch the planes go over. Our first flight over Albury was a thrill in a little plane.
When was that?
Oh, before the airport was built, because I had to go and be helped into the plane by the pilot. No, it was lovely. Enjoyed it.
Mark Spikerboss, I'm artist, New Zealand.
And the mural that you've created, can you first of all tell me visually what we are looking at, if we're pretending to look at it now so people can get an image in their mind?
Sure. I've created a trompe l'oeil, which is French for trick the eye mural. So it's an extension of the existing cafeteria. I've created another cafeteria, if you like, adjoining this new one here, which dates back to 1934. So I've got characters from 1934 just about to finish their coffee and go outside and rescue the giant DC-2 airliner, which is grounded in the race course. So, yeah, it's got the KLM pilots of the Iver sitting up front there having a cup of coffee, and it's interactive. Yeah, it's like they're in the cafeteria.
You said it's a painting about personalities. How did you go about capturing those personalities to tell the story of the Iver?
Yeah, this was no small task. Okay, so I was armed with black and white portraits, and I had to do some model shoots of people who looked similar, and I spent a long time working on their expressions so that if we'd studied them for a long time, some of that personality or what they might be thinking comes to the fore. So, yeah, this was no mean feat. I couldn't just put blank faces on the wall. They had to be reading the newspaper or concerned about things or interacting with each other within the mural. So, yeah, that was quite a challenge.
Who did you capture in the mural?
Well, I've got Dirk Parmentier, the captain, the pilot, his co-pilot, Mole. There's the mayor, you know, Alf War. We've got R.J. Turner, the postal clerk, who switched the Albury's town lights into Morse code. And there's the paying passengers on the KLM. We've got the journalist there, Mott. Yeah, I guess there's a couple of random people there too.
Did you get the radio announcer, Arthur Newham?
Absolutely.
That's the most important part for ABC listeners.
Absolutely. No, these I've been living and breathing the Iver story for a long time, so these things were critical to the success of the mural.
They were critical to the success of the Iver as well, and its fate, so it's very important that you've captured them and put them up there for all to see. You mentioned that when you've been asked by people back home in New Zealand about the story, that they get all goosebumpy and they can't believe that this story actually unfolded and the way it unfolded.
Well, as I say, I've been living and breathing the story, so when I retell it, I tell it with some gusto. You know, I particularly enjoy the part where the pilots are just exiting the plane after landing and the townspeople of Albury sing them for Who's a Jolly Good Fellow. I mean, that just sort of says a lot about the magic, or what must have been a pretty magical time. Yeah, I guess I'm right with the story, and I love retelling it.
When did you first become aware of it?
18 months ago. I was contacted initially by Albury City to consider some concepts for a mural to commemorate the Ivor. Yeah.
Where did you begin your planning?
Well, it was a mixture. I had to get over here and do some research. So I spent a week in Albury, and I know Albury very well now. so the research quotient was huge.
How long did it take you to complete the mural?
I would say there would have been 2 to 3 months there. Yeah, it's quite intensive, especially when you're dealing with portraits. You know, you're looking at a day or two per person.
So what is it that we're looking at on the wall? Is it canvas on the wall?
Well, it's actually painted on violine, wow, which is like a non-woven acrylic media. So it's pasted down. It's basically like a coat of paint. So.
When did you finish it?
The day before I flew to Albury, actually. I just kept working on it, right up until the time I had to roll it into a canister and bring it over.
And what was it like once you rolled it into that canister and know that you've completed this story?
Oh, look, it was a huge responsibility anyway. I was all consumed by it, I have to say. I was living in 1934 for 6 weeks, without doubt. But now that it's unveiled and I've managed to say a few words and I feel this closure, it's not an emptiness I feel, but a real satisfaction. You know, I feel I've achieved what I set out to do, yeah.
You said you want it to be more than just a window into the past. You want it to be an interactive discussion for people to start with and look at and see the images and the people and hear the story through their own minds.
Absolutely. You know, as I say, early on I realised this is about people. It's too special an event to just be commemorated on a plaque. I mean, the idea that people can interact, you know, even if it's just subconsciously or even just a little with the story or be immersed in it in some way, I think that that's success. Yeah, that's one way of that this story will never die.